Welcome to another episode of Nerd to Nerd, the podcast that encourages you to let your inner nerd out. I'm Lee.
And I'm Binks.
And I don't even know what I wanted to say.
That's okay.
I had something. Something was in my head. I don't know.
How you doing?
So, I'm good. How are you? Oh, that's what I wanted to say. I'm exhausted because I don't know why, but I, you know, have two friends who are now keeping me up until the middle of the night wanting to play video games.
It's your own fault. I know. Just so we're clear.
I did it to myself.
Yes, you did. You have created two monsters, and you are welcome. you reap what you sow, Lee.
Yeah. It's fine. It's fine. Everything is fine.
Yeah, we're all hooked on Destiny. It's a great game.
Fun.
Yep.
before we go down that rabbit hole, we got two emails this week. So you know we're getting popular now.
Yeah,
I feel like a real podcaster.
what's the line from The Jerk with Steve Martin? I'm somebody now.
So Jen wrote us again.
Master Chief Jen. She said, Binks, I'm sorry about your stepfather, and I'm very glad your mother is recovering. Sending all the good vibes and virtual hugs your way. And Lee, congrats on upgrading your old doorstop of a computer. That's scary to do until you've done it once. And then it's like, oh, why was I afraid of this? It's easy. That being said, please be sure you're wearing proper PPE if you are ever possessed to need to boot any electronics into next week. Closed-toed shoes, at the very least. Flip-flops are not recommended. While I've been repeatedly rewatching Wynonna Earp, I've been looking for something else to nerd out to as well. I work from home one day a week, so I basically stream something all day while I'm answering emails and compiling reports. I'm almost caught up on Station 19, and I'm on Season 2 of Legends of Tomorrow. But after listening to you two, I need to start watching Killing Eve as well. Yeah. I agree, Jen.
Yeah, you do.
Get on it. It's one of those series that I've been like, yeah, I'm going to watch it later, and later never comes. So while I'm waiting for The Nevers 1B and Wynonna Earp season 5, yeah, shout it out, Jen. and all the Star Wars content, I'll fit in Killing Eve. So I have something new to nerd out about. Thanks. You're welcome. she said we could leave this next part out or read it, so we're going to read it. So she says, so my Twitter name is at Master Chief Jen, because I am a Master Chief Petty Officer in the U.S. Coast Guard. Jen, just so you know, I actually considered entering the Coast Guard when I was in high school. I didn't do it.
Really?
But yeah, it was just kind of a, like, maybe I could do that.
Interesting.
No offense, Jen, but glad I didn't. anyway, moving on. I've been in for 23 plus years, or maybe since... 23 plus years, yeah. Dang, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe, since it was Groundhog Day last millennium when I joined, one really long day. My job is electronics technician, and I'm only the second female electronics technician Master Chief ever in the USCG.
That's fucking awesome.
Right?
That's so awesome.
Yeah. I mean... You go, Jen. I don't even know what to say. Congratulations.
I know.
That's
awesome.
An amazing thing. And
incredible.
Yes. Yeah. Good for you. And she's in parentheses, she put, I would put money on me being the first openly out one, but I'm not 100% certain of that. But yay for representation.
That's right.
Hell yeah, Jen. That's right.
Yeah.
So I'm number two. I'm number two. Hey, wait a minute. What? You just wanted me to say that on the pod, huh? That I'm number two. No, just kidding. She said, keep on nerding, Jen.
Thank you so much, Jen. That is so awesome. 23 years in one place is quite an accomplishment.
It is.
And let alone in a male-dominated industry or profession.
Mm-hmm.
That's just very impressive.
Yes.
And I hope you stay safe and sane in continuing that career.
Yeah, and keep killing it, you know? Like,
yeah.
Keep being the first or second
to
do the things that, you know, they think women can't do.
I will say, if you're on season 2 of Legends, because of course I have to chime in about that.
Of course you do.
If you made it to season two, season three gets so much better. So 3, 4, and 5 are my favorites at this point in time. Hopefully 7 redeems 6.
Yeah,
but we'll
6
see.
Was a little rough. I have to agree with you.
They're trying to write and produce and act in active COVID. Right, so right. I can't fault them too much, but they sound like they're going to start redeeming themselves. Anyway, we won't go down the Legends rabbit hole just yet.
Well, I do want to agree with you, though. I think that seasons 3 through 5 were their strongest, and hopefully, like you said, season 7 will be redeeming.
Yeah.
All right, and then we got a second email from our friend Token.
So, full disclosure, Token is a close internet friend, since we haven't all met
virtual
each other
friend,
in person yet.
Yeah, but we will friend, be, but eventually we will, you know, once we can travel to cons and whatnot, we will definitely be meeting in person.
So she has a lot of shows in common with us. We chat with her quite often about all of our, you know, similar likes.
Yes.
So she says, "Hello, nerds. First, congratulations on the podcast. You guys are amazing and always manage to make me smile while listening. I'm writing because I finally heard the last two episodes you guys put out, and I wanted to say that I'm happy that Lee agreed with me about the CW. Drag them to the ground." Now,
tell us how you really feel, Token, because
she's been very adamant about not watching any CW programs, and I've been trying to coerce her into giving in to that. And I did. I was very upset with CW for how they were promoting Supergirl. Now, I have to qualify that with saying they have since been putting out trailers and releasing more information for us. And we do get a preview of the next episode. So I don't know what was going on at the first part of the season. If it was COVID, who knows? I'm not necessarily going to retract my fuck you CW just yet.
No retractions here, folks. You've heard it.
So we'll...
it's on temporary hold until we know more.
So Token goes on to say, "I'm looking forward to the next episode. Keep up the good work, nerds. Thanks for providing top-notch entertainment." And then she says, "Also, Lee, we're at war now. How dare you insult the PlayStation? Xbox sucks. PlayStation rules. I love you guys. Token." Yeah, no.
I love it.
Until, here's the thing. Until you've had both consoles and played on both consoles and held both of those controllers in your hands, you cannot tell me that the PlayStation is the superior. You can't.
I think that's a fair assessment because I'll coming from the last PlayStation I owned was a PlayStation 2, so it's been years. However, coming from that to the Xbox, I'm definitely a fan of Xbox. However, I haven't played the newer PlayStation, so I really can't say one way or another which one is better. Yeah. So I'm out of it. I sit here and eat my popcorn and watch you two fools or listen to you two going back and forth about which one's better. So
So thank you both for the emails. We appreciate it. We love it. We love to hear from everybody. And
definitely.
If you wanna reach out to us, like the
Our socials.
Jenna and Token did.
Yeah. Our socials, if you want to reach out on Twitter or Instagram, we're at nerdtonerdpod. Or you can send us an email like they did. And our email address is nerdtonerdpodcast@gmail.com.
Yep.
Yeah. So we would love to hear from more people. Let us know what you're nerding out about. If there's any shows like last week, Jen's first email, she had told us about a few shows. Let us know, you know, what we're missing, like if there's any really cool things that we should be talking about. So, yeah. Awesome.
So, staying on the Destiny track for just a second. So, our experiment, my experiment worked, and you are now 100% addicted
to
the game.
Lee, you are an evil genius. Pat yourself on the back. Well, maybe not evil, but
trust that, you know, a person who's got several thousand hours into the game and has played it since, you know, pretty much day one, there's obviously something to it that,
It speaks to people.
If it clicks, it clicks.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And I would just like to just add a quick PSA, I haven't played video games in years, but now that Lee has got me on the Destiny track, I just want to let people know, be prepared. I would love, you know, I want to promote Destiny for everybody, but just know that it will consume your life. you will just be wanting to play Destiny all the time. It is addicting, yeah, and
it's not because it's time consuming to play. No, as far as, it's just fun. You know, it's fun.
It's fun.
The hours go by so fast.
They do. They just melt away and you're like, wait, mm-hmm. It's 1 a.m.
Yep.
Actually, I think it was 2 a.m. last weekend.
Oh, jeez.
You know.
Well, so you know, just very recently, we were given the ability to have crossplay in Destiny 2. So mm-hmm. We can now play with, and I've you know mentioned it before, but we can now play with PlayStation and PS or PC players. Mm-hmm. And I've also been trying to coerce Token to come join us, mm-hmm. and she did, and now she's hooked too.
Yep. Now she's, yep, you've created two monsters, and now we're like, yeah. when are we playing?
Yeah.
Like, let's play.
Yeah. The only downside is she's still on that stupid PlayStation, but no.
And it continues. I love it. I can't wait to hear if she has any replies to this.
Oh, I'm sure she will.
Sure
she will.
Yeah. Token is not one to be silent when things need to be said. No. Which I love about you, Token. Don't take that wrong at all.
Yeah.
More power to you, girl.
Yeah. Maybe we can coerce her to come on here and
do
this in live.
That would be amazing.
Do a live battle.
Sign me up. I will literally get popcorn and just sit here and just watch you two. Oh, it's good. That's good stuff. Entertainment for me, so it works. All right. Well, moving on from the Destiny track, we're going to just quick few announcements, really. There's an event on October 16th for any newer ERPers who have never been to a convention. And mm-hmm. it's about what to expect if you go to your first con. And it's called Wino and ERP Cons 101, and it's on October 16th. At 3 p.m. Eastern, and you can find details on Kevin Batchelder's handle, which
Twitter?
I'm totally blanking on what his handle is.
I'll put it in the show
notes.
Okay,
perfect. Thank you.
Yeah.
I did not write it down. I should have.
To clarify, so if you've never been to a con that is a specific show, dedicated mm-hmm. to a specific show, it's quite a bit different experience than if you go to like a comic book con that's got multiple, you know, venues, multiple medias going on,
mm-hmm. Multiple shows and
multiple,
all of the stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. An ERPer con, granted I've only been to one, mm-hmm. but I know that
you're one more than me,
the experience, but I know that the experience is pretty much the same with all of our ERPer cons. Because we're all ERPers and, you know, we just do it that way.
Right. And we want to celebrate our show and be with our people.
Yeah. But there's the guest lineup is pretty intense. And there are certain things that, you know, help. Like I didn't know when I went. Mm-hmm. You have to learn to manage your time. You have to know what you want to do, who you want to see, mm-hmm. and
you have to have,
you know,
a plan,
a schedule.
Going in.
Definitely you
have
need
to have
cash
plan.
Because it's a cash situation.
Okay, well, that's a good tip.
So
Gentleman Jack season 2 has wrapped. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. they still haven't released a date for when the series will premiere, but we're definitely keeping our eye on that one, aren't we, Lee?
Oh yeah
Can't wait. Saran Jones plays the titular character. I always whenever I say titular, I have to I kind of giggle inside.
Yeah,
I'm sure you can hear it.
Well, I giggle too, so
yeah, it's like titular.
You're not alone.
Well, that's good. And well, on that note, speaking of not being alone, I did get a gift from my ERPer friends today. It was a hug, and I'm just going to show it on the screen, even though this is a pod, but just in case we do some video, it was a hug, and it's this little, little tile that you put in a little wood stand, and on the back, it has a Wine Owner ERP quote, which just, it made me kind of tear up. And it's just, it was just a way to, you know, show sympathy for my loss, my recent loss. And the quote that I definitely want to read is, "I'm not saying that it's going to be okay. I'm just saying I'm here." And that is, of course, Waverly Earp talking to Wynonna when she finds out she's pregnant. And that
through the bathroom door.
Yes, through the, which was, I love the way they shot that.
Yeah, it was awesome.
But yeah, that quote means a lot to me. So thank you, my friends, from the bottom of my heart. I love you guys. So,
Erper love.
Yes, Erper love. I love it. I love my community. So, I really appreciate all of you. Next up, I just wanted to make a quick, update on my Supergirl progress. I'm actually on, I just finished season 2, episode 5. So I have been introduced to Lena Luthor, and I have to tell you, they don't have tons of scenes together, but anytime Katie McGrath and Melissa Benoist are on screen together, I'm just like, now I see what the fandom has been like screaming about. And I've only seen her in a few episodes. So it is just, you can see they're like, it's just the way Katie looks at Melissa. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Super core. Super core.
You're in for a treat then, because it's it gets better.
Yeah. And I can't wait. So I'm totally into it. I know I'm very late to the game. The last season is going to be wrapping soon, but I'm truly, truly enjoying watching it. So I'm really glad that you convinced me to you know, watch it again, Lee.
Or
give it another shot.
I will say that the last two episodes we've had, most of the consensus in the fandom is that they've been really, really good episodes, and we're very happy with what they're giving us. It's still, you know, it's still not what we're expecting
or wanting,
But they have been two very good episodes. So we'll see. We've got November 9th, I think, whatever that Tuesday is, the last episode. Okay. And it's a 2-hour finale.
Oh, sweet. So, okay.
Yeah.
So they go out with a bang.
Yes.
And then the other part that I just wanted to mention was the whole Kyler Lee storyline where, you know, her character is, you know, about to come out as some form of queer. I don't know yet, because I haven't seen it, so I'll just say queer. But her connection with the cop, is she a cop? I don't even.
Yes,
I don't know.
She's a cop. Okay, so that was season 2. See, it's been long since I watched the early seasons.
Right.
So it's in season 2 that they meet. Okay.
Yeah, cool. And I'm really digging their vibe too. I can't wait to see where that goes. And I do know, like, just from talking to you and just social media, I do know that it doesn't last. But you know, swirl alert. But I'll enjoy it, you know, seeing Maggie Sawyer. Yeah. I'll enjoy seeing lesbian relationships, or, you know, women relationships,
same sex. So I have to say that they did Alex's coming out. It was one of the best coming out stories or scenes.
Oh, cool!
That I've seen on TV. It's very, very well done. And of course, I mean, Kyler Lee is just an amazing actress.
Right. Also an Erper, just so we're just in case anybody's wondering.
That's right, she is, and also had. Her character Alex also had a brief encounter with Sarah Lance.
Oh yes, she did. And that's how I know things didn't work out. Because you put me onto that, I think, a while back.
That's just a rebound. Just a quick
interaction. It was a
but still,
dalliance?
Is that? Yes, it's a dalliance on both their parts. But anyway, we digress.
We do. Let's just keep throwing words out there, Lee. See what sticks to the wall. Love it. And then, are we good with Supergirl? Can we move on?
Yes, we can move on.
can we move hither?
Oh my God.
I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
Yes, we shall.
we must proceed. Okay.
We must proceed.
Okay, so we did want to just give a shout out to JoJo Siwa being the first person to star on Dancing with the Stars to have a same-sex partner. So if you haven't had a chance to check out the dances that they've done thus far, I recommend it. Oh my God, I could not stop rewatching the Britney week with her and Jenna. Jenna is her partner. Oh my God, I loved it. I freaking loved it. And I didn't even care what the judges had to say. She's just so confident. And I know she comes from a different type of dancing background, but just so confident and strong and doing three lifts as like, you know, doing this whole new style of dance. I was I was amazed. So highly recommend. 18 years old.
18 years old.
And she just seems like she knows what she wants from life and she's going for it. And I love it.
Yeah.
So
good for her.
Yeah. Props to you, JoJo, and the fact that you're the first same-sex coupling on that show. I mean, we're making progress, people. Woo!
Yeah, that's just incredible. Yeah,
definitely. So yeah. And we have one final quick announcement.
PSA.
Go ahead, Lee. I know this is your bag.
Yeah, just to remind. I mean, it depends on when, obviously, when you're listening to this, but the DC Fandome event is October 16th.
Which is next weekend still for us.
Yeah, next weekend for us. We still don't have a whole lot of information. They didn't give us a lot of information last time either, but a bunch of shows and panels are going to be talked about, and sneak peeks are going to be had. It's going to be a fun time, so check it out.
Yeah, I still need to sign up. I hope it's not too late.
No, it's not too late. It's never too late.
Yeah, I figured I could probably even do it the day
it's
of.
It's just an email. Yeah. You just put it, they just, you know, get your email address and they just send you reminders and stuff.
And is it through Stitch or Twitch or what is it called? Jesus.
You go Twitch, to the website. No, well, you go to the website and it will, you know, if you want to see a panel or something, you just click on it. I don't know what media they use to do those.
Yeah,
no it worries. Might be YouTube even.
But is Twitch the website name? Like,
it is
gaming,
a website.
The gaming
name,
one.
It's yes.
Okay, I'm just
that's not.
No, I know. I know it may not be for that thing. I'm just like that is the name of it because I called it Stitch,
Twitch.
Which our friend Tex would love. So because Stitch, the little character from Disney.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Anywho, moving on. we have a few shows and a movie that we wanted to talk about this week. So we're going to just kind of jump in. The first one was What If? It was the final episode of season one. And Lee did not watch it, but I'm just going to give a quick little brief synopsis. So if you haven't watched it, you might want to skip this part of the pod. But please continue listening. Just putting that in there. This one was called What If the Watcher Broke His Oath? So I think I had mentioned last week that the last episode, the Watcher actually became part of the story, and it was, you know, all centered around Ultron. So now in this episode, it's kind of a continuation of that, and it's the Watcher is going to the various stories that we've seen in the series and pulling certain people. He just all of a sudden appears like when they're right in the middle of battles or whatever they're doing and saying, "You have been chosen," and then takes them out of their universe and he brings them into the multiverse so that they can battle Ultron. So he ends up selecting some of the characters we've seen in the episodes and then some that we haven't yet seen. The one that comes to mind is Gamora. We didn't see her in the role where they actually, I assume that episode is coming next season. It's probably all due to COVID. So it's probably why it wasn't quite so tight, because I even heard some talk about, they were trying to do an episode with, I think they said Captain Marvel, but it had to be pushed to next season because of the whole pandemic. So
when you say next season, you're saying next season of What If?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And if you look on IMDb, it does show season one, season two, and it already has the episode numbers, of course, but no titles. So there is definitely going to be another season, which is cool. Hopefully they'll maybe not kill all of our heroes next season as much.
Yeah.
That would be great. So some of the people that the Watcher chooses, Captain Carter, which I was so thrilled to see her again, T'Challa as playing as Star-Lord instead of Black Panther, and then Killmonger, who becomes Black Panther in his story, Doctor Strange, who else, Black Widow. Natasha was actually on the world where they're fighting Ultron, so she wasn't necessarily picked for it, but she becomes part of the team as well. And then they even bring in Peter Quill, which he, you know, in normal Marvel, he is Star-Lord. But yeah. In this series, he works at like a fast food restaurant. And I don't know how they, I can't remember how he gets pulled into the story, but he is actually in it. And then Thor, I think, is the last one. And it's the, you know, the party hardy Thor, not the Thor we know and love from the movies. So it's a very interesting grouping of all these characters playing, you know, very different from what we know in the MCU. But yeah, I liked it. It was good. And I am looking forward to seeing season two and see what they can do. Especially seeing some more of our characters, you know? So
yeah,
not much more to say on it than that. If you haven't seen it, I suggest you watch it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, awesome. it is kind of a nice twist because they're not killing all of our characters. So, you know, at least for the show, it's a good turn of events. So, and then next up, we're going to talk about the Avengers, Lee.
Okay.
So what'd you think? Cool.
I mean, I love that movie. Yeah. I mean, it was great when I watched it the first time, but now that I have a little bit more, you know, knowledge of what's going on in that universe, I loved it even more.
I mean, what's not to love?
Yeah, I think when I watched it the first time, well, I'm almost positive when I watched it the first time, I didn't know who Cobie Smulders was, and then in the interim, watched her in Stumptown.
Yes, I loved that show, and I'm so mad that they haven't renewed it.
Oh, it got canceled.
Yeah, it did.
But if you haven't seen that show, she plays a private detective, private eye, private some.
Yeah, no,
yeah, it's private eye.
Yeah, you're right.
She's a private eye. But it comes out that she's bi, and she has some very hot girlfriends. Very hot girlfriends.
Yes.
So watching her as Agent Hill in this movie, and I think I confessed this to you, that I immediately wanted to go write
a fanfic.
A fanfic of Black Widow and Agent Hill on a date, or I don't know, in the broom closet. I don't know.
I want you to hear me, Lee. I will read that fic. Write it, and I will read it. I will not quote a movie that I really want to quote because it sounds terrible. If you write it, I will come. Okay, I said it.
Well, you know, it is possible. I do like my smut.
Yes, and you're actually really good at it, so.
Thank you.
Yeah, I definitely, anybody else? Anybody else want to see Lee write this fic? I think this needs to happen. You've put it out in the universe and it needs to happen. So would you get on that?
But, you know, it's like I can't even watch an innocent Marvel movie without turning, you know, two characters that don't even have any interaction together into a smut fic.
That's fine by me. That's fine. Totally fine by me.
Yeah.
So, one of my favorite parts. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say one of my favorite parts about the Avengers is the humor. it's sprinkled throughout, and it's like various characters. And I actually wrote down a few of like the funnier parts. But did you want to say something first?
I mean, just my most favorite scene is when the Hulk gets a hold of Loki and just slams him to the ground like a rag doll, and then
grabs him by the leg and is like flipping him back and forth, hitting him on the ground.
Yeah. And then he walks away and says, puny humans.
No, puny god.
Puny god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just puny god. Like, puny god, you think you're all that. And I just like decimated you in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just one example of the humor that I absolutely just, I adore about Marvel is their way of bringing the levity, but also like the serious and the drama and all that stuff. Yeah. So, one of my absolute favorite lines from this movie is when Thor steals Loki out of the jet with Tony Stark as Iron Man and Captain America. And when Tony goes down to meet Thor, like he kind of pushes him down or whatever, and he opens up his mask and he says, "Doth mother know you weareth her drapes?" to Thor. I loved that line.
Tony is snarky in this whole entire movie. I loved it.
Yeah, I love the part where he's poking Bruce Banner in the side, like, and then watching him, like, "Ew. Are you gonna turn?" Like, yeah. He's trying to scare the Hulk out, you know, or like get the Hulk to show.
But see, without the context of knowing Iron Man's backstory, mm-hmm. he does act like an ass mm-hmm. in this movie. But I know why, right. And I love it.
Yes, because it gives you a whole different take on his character, yeah. Right? Seeing it without exactly. that backstory, you're just like, what a jerk, like, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you once you get kind of like his history a little bit, and there's more to come on that, but you know, just that ground that. I don't even know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, you connect with the character in a different yes. way, and, you know, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he becomes more funny than jerky, so...
Yes.
Yes, and that, I love his snark and his, you know, his sarcasm. Yep. It's one of my favorite parts of these movies is Tony Stark.
Yeah.
The other part that I absolutely just makes me laugh every freaking time is the part where... the Hulk finally does come out on the Harrier jet, you know, and him and Thor have been fighting or whatever, and then they have to, you know, attend to the invaders. You know, Loki and his minions are attacking, and so they're Thor and the Hulk are fighting together, and at one point they're just standing side by side, and all of a sudden the Hulk just like punches him. Goes yeah. flying. It's just like stuff like that. I'm just like, I love it. It's just, you know, it's so well timed, and just, you know, you're just not expecting it. So yeah. I remember laughing out loud in the theater when that happened. So
at some point I was just thinking, at some point before, well, I mean, Bruce has been knocked out of the jet and he, you know, comes back to human form. Yes. And then he eventually joins up with them again, mm-hmm. and then they're waiting for him to Hulk up again, and he turns to them and says, because somebody says something about when you're going to get angry, and he said, "That's the secret, I'm always angry."
Right.
So did I miss something? Is he now able to like call it up at will?
Well, yeah, I think that was kind of like well, you know, that
he always been able to, and we just
no. I honestly think that it's always been reactive, but now he's able to summon his Hulk. Like, I definitely think that. Yeah, you're on the right track with that one.
Okay,
for sure.
But something happened. Someone when he wakes up, someone finds him, and I
yeah, it's a security guard in an old warehouse building.
And that's who gives him some clothes.
Right. Okay, so I just want to pull the thread really quick on that, because where did his pants go? Like, why is he naked?
Here we go.
Yeah, like that was the one moment in this film where I'm like, how all of a sudden is he naked?
I mean, just he didn't plummets make any sense. To Earth, right?
Right.
He plummets from the floating whatever that
I think
is.
It's called the Harrier jet, yeah.
Okay. So maybe as he's not falling there.
I'm probably saying that wrong, but that's okay. No Marvel people attack me, please.
Well, maybe as he's falling that fast, maybe his pants come off. I don't know.
Well, and then, okay, so I'm going to pull another thread. So when he becomes the Hulk, how come his pants stretch out? And, you know, he's allowed to, you know what I mean? Like, there's just certain things about that character that just, I'm just like.
It's so far-fetched.
Yeah, how does this work? Yeah. So they'll grow, but they don't shrink with him, the pants.
Yeah. Well, and just the fact that he can, I mean, basically he can fly because he's, you know, jumping really high and
he can
flying
jump
all over the place. Yeah. And he's just got, there's nothing he can't do.
Yeah.
Other than speak properly.
That's funny. Loki has teamed up with an army known as, and the species is the Chitauri, and his intention is to take control of the Earth. He wants to be like a king, and he wants everybody to bow to him. And so he has actually gotten in the mix with Thanos, which we see at the very end of the film, we see, you know, his figure kind of turn and look at the camera. But yeah, so he gets in bed with Thanos, I guess, and is going to conquer Earth kind of for Thanos, so that Thanos can get more of the Infinity Stones that are actually on Earth. And it opens where, you know, we're at S.H.I.E.L.D.'s, like, underground, I don't even know what you call it, bunker or base of operations. And Loki appears and gets a hold of the Tesseract and ends up taking over Clint Barton, who is Hawkeye. And he also takes, well, he already has control over Eric Selvig, the scientist, as we know from the end of the other movie, Thor, right? At the end of Thor.
Yep.
Yeah, so he's amassing people. All he has to do is touch this, like, staff that he has with the Tesseract's power to somebody's chest, and then he takes control over them. Mm-hmm. So he's able to do that throughout the movie. And, you know, it's just, it's the Avengers coming together and becoming the team that they are. It's Nick Fury, you know, gathering all the heroes. So we got Thor, we've got Iron Man, we've got Captain America, Black Widow, Hawkeye, and the Hulk. Yeah. I knew there was one more. So they all come together as a team, in this movie. And I love the pacing of the movie. It just, you know, the way they take you from, you know, the starting of everything and then the Battle of New York, that just, it blows my mind how they were able to do that. The CGI is amazing. It just freaking really good, really well done. And
More Black Widow.
Yes.
More Black Widow.
Yes. Oh, your favorite scene was when she when she jumps off Cap's shield and gets on what do you call those?
Motorbikes. I don't know. Alien motorbikes.
Yeah, that fly in the sky.
And she, like, kicks them all off except for the driver, who she's now using to steer with.
Right, yeah. She, like, takes her daggers and puts it into him and then uses him to, like, steer the...
That's fucking fearless.
Really is. And she doesn't have any superpowers. She's just a spy. No, she's a killer, you know, like...
A regular human. Right. And she's just flying through the sky on an alien jet ski. I don't know.
No, for real, it's kind of like a jet ski, but on air.
My god, I don't even want to go down that rabbit hole. Because I just want more. More Black Widow.
Definitely. And so now I mean, she does have a role definitely in these movies as we progress and everything, and she's in multiple movies moving forward, now you see why fans were like, when are we going to get a Black Widow movie, you know? So we finally did, sure. Which I, you know, gosh, I really wish they could have made more than one. That would have been something. So
they kind of pigeonholed her end story there, so
definitely.
But
speaking of which, though, did you see that ScarJo has settled with Disney?
Yes, I did see that. Yep.
So come to terms, or they've come to an agreement, and she's getting whatever they agreed on. I don't think they actually said what it was, but and is, you know, put out a statement that she's looking forward to continued relationship with Disney moving forward. So yay. I mean, good for her for what she knew she deserved. And I don't know exactly what she got, but she's happy with it. So that's awesome, you know, like, good for her.
Yep. So the next one, I think, is the Thor Dark Worlds.
Oh, shoot. I totally forgot to look it up.
Yeah, I think it's Thor Dark Worlds, because I go by my Disney menu, because you can actually scroll down and find the one that says in cinematic order.
Oh, right.
That's how I've been doing it.
And it's Thor the Dark World.
Dark World. Okay.
Yeah, just so we're clear.
Yeah. I knew it had the words dark and world.
No worries. The Dark World. And that one came out in 2013 and is a continuation, of course, of the Thor storyline. And we also see Natalie Portman back as Jane. We also see...
Kat Denning?
Yes, Kat Denning as Darcy, which I love her. She's there definitely for the comedic relief, and she does it perfectly. So
yes, she does.
Yeah. That should be a really good one. I enjoyed it. I know that some fans didn't really like it, and it maybe it stems from like how it related to the comic books. Or maybe I'm just basing that off of what my friend, you know, he wasn't a huge fan of it. But he's, right, you know, a huge Marvel fan. So, yeah, it wasn't one of his favorites. I actually liked it. I like the story. I like where they go with it. So,
cool. Did you, I'm springing this on you, yeah, and we can take it out, but did you want to say something about, is it the Agatha character that's getting
yes,
her own?
Yes. Okay.
Catherine Hahn.
Yes. Yeah, so Catherine Hahn's getting her own spinoff with her character Agatha from WandaVision. So
she signed a deal with Marvel Studios to return as Agatha in various movies and Disney Plus shows, including her own series.
Yes, I'm so excited. I loved her as Agatha. That whole reveal was, oh my God, chills. You know, it was good. Like, it was a good surprise, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
Cause I knew something was off about her, but I could never put my finger on like what it was, right, or how she, you know, how she fit into the story. But yeah, that was really cool. And she became like the big bad for, Wanda to face at the end of WandaVision. Yeah. So, and she had a song on iTunes that was like number one, or you know, I don't know if it was number one, but it was definitely on the charts for a while. The song was called Agatha All Along, and it was it was a streaming, like people were streaming it a lot, so it was actually, it made the charts, so
I'll be damned. Yeah,
right. Good. And it's not even that long of a song, it's just like a very like short, like little ditty, you know, that she sings. Yeah. So Catherine Hahn, you know, I've liked her for a long time. I can't wait for that. I can't wait for more information about how she's going to fit into the Marvel universe.
Yep.
She's a great addition. So
cool.
Yeah.
All right.
So, overall, would you give it, what, 2 thumbs up, for Avengers?
Out of 5?
Or no, I mean, I don't know. How do you want to say that? Do we have a rating system yet?
We don't have a rating system. We need one.
Yeah, we definitely should get one. Any of you listeners out there want to help us come up with a way to rate movies and whatnot? Give us a shout out. Again, I'll give our socials. We're on Instagram and Facebook. We are on Twitter and Instagram at Nerd to Nerd Pod, or you can send us an email, and our email address is Nerd to Nerd Podcast at gmail.com. So we would love to, you know, give us an idea on how we can rate TV shows and movies. Like 0 to 5 type of thing. What can we use as our rating system? So,
yeah.
All right. So,
but to answer your question, I would definitely give that a 4 out of 5.
Oh, nice. Okay, good.
Yeah,
good. Yep. I'd probably give it, I'd go like 4.3 out of 5. I got to give it a little bit of a bump because I really I love that movie. So
yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah. And do we want to move on to Station 19?
Yeah, let's move on to.
And Arena, they're back. And Maya. Yeah, they're back. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. We talked about them last week. They're back.
I mean, there's not. It was a good episode. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I'm torn. Mm-hmm. Again, because here we go with, you know, a married couple that we can't let be happy, and they now have to argue about whether they want kids or not. I'm mm-hmm. like, seriously? Mm-hmm. Really? Mm-hmm. I mean, I get that, you know, straight couples go through this too, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in my previous relationships, my partners already had children, so it mm-hmm. it was never an issue for us because I was not going to have any kids.
Right.
That was not going to happen.
Right.
But I didn't mind helping raise, you know.
Right.
Children that were already birthed. But I mean, I guess in this generation and you know, now that the ability to get legally married is a thing, mm-hmm. that might be the next logical step in our evolution as queer people, is to learn how to deal with the fact that, you know, how do you have them? What, you know, who's mm-hmm. going to carry? And in Uneven, Karina even says to Maya, you know, there's two wombs in this relationship, which I thought was, a wonderful, sentiment.
Yeah, because I think Maya was, you know, she was concerned that Karina was going to want her to be the one to get pregnant. And as a firefighter, that's just not, well, as a female firefighter, well, yeah. Obviously being pregnant, duh. But what I'm saying is, like, women already have a hard enough time being considered equal to the men in that profession. So yeah. It would have probably hurt her career. And I think that's... Well,
yeah, and that's I guess the thing that makes me the most pissed off is that mm-hmm. she can't even consider it because she wants to be battalion chief someday, and I don't know how true to life any of that is. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing yeah, it's probably, you know, pretty, it's relatively close. Yeah,
probably yeah. pretty true.
And I, you know, obviously it's a drama series and we have to have drama, but you know, give it to the straight people, please. Come on, I mean.
Yeah,
and they do, and you know, again, they do.
Yeah, they do.
I'm not trying to bash the show because right. I do love
And it's equal, you know, like they're all yeah. getting dragged through the shit, you know. So
pretty much. Yeah. So,
but it is frustrating though because we literally just saw them get married.
Yeah,
and now we're just seeing them like already. Like it, I guess it's been what, a year since they 10 got months. Married.
Yeah, almost yeah, it's a year. Almost a year. Yeah,
and. We don't get to see any of that bliss other yeah, than the sex scene, which again was not really a sex scene. It was just
no. But I need to point out that as Andy's laying in the bed, mm-hmm. picking up her phone to text Jack, mm-hmm. The sex noises in the background are Maya and Karina,
yes.
by the way.
Yes.
So,
but again, can we not like actually see them like being intimate?
Do you think it's a television?
Okay. Is it that or is it COVID?
Yes. No, it's network television.
Okay. But don't they normally...
I'm still shocked.
Don't they show sex on network television sometimes? Is it the time that it's on maybe? Or... Like...
I don't know.
Maybe it's on too early or something so they have to like censor stuff or...
I mean, you know, in the same breath, we're again showing two fully naked men kissing and mm-hmm. Implying that they're having sex. So I don't know...
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that was their quota, if they were only allowed to have one set of same-sex couple having sex, and so they picked the guys this time because, you know, it has been Maya and Karina, you know, previously. I mean, we've seen them in the beginnings or endings of something.
The thing, the part that bothered me, and I wanna preface this by saying, I'm not looking for gratuitous anything. Okay.
Right.
But the fact that Maya and Karina are wearing outfits instead of like just the sheet pulled up over them, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. to me, I'm like, if they're having sex, they're most likely naked. They're not going to be doing it with their nightgowns or whatever on.
Yeah.
So,
but even I can't think of her name.
Oh yeah, Huey.
Yeah. Even she has a top on.
I mean, I know.
They obviously just did it. So.
Right.
It's. I think it might even be because it is network television, number one. And I mean, to be fair to these female actresses, maybe they don't want to be.
Yeah, that's true too. You know, yeah,
I mean,
I don't know. I just don't like the disparity because, like you said, we saw the guys, you know, from the waist up, bare chested. Granted, they don't have breasts, so I get it. But it just seemed, I mean, they could have done away hot and just put the sheet up over them. Like, I don't understand why they had to be, like, almost, like, fully clothed to have that scene. It doesn't play true, you know, to me.
No,
anyway.
It's television.
I know. That's true as well. So maybe I shouldn't base my reality on television, I mean, is what you're telling me, Lee.
It's network television, so what are you going to do?
Yeah, true. True that.
We're lucky we get them, is what I, you know, we're lucky we get anything at all. Yeah. So
Did you get the feeling at the end of the episode with Andy that she was going to have sex with their new chief at 19?
Oh, she definitely.
Yeah.
She definitely took him somewhere.
Yeah.
Banged him.
Okay. Yeah. Just making sure we're on the same wavelength.
No. She did. But I still think she's going to contemplate getting back together with Sullivan. So.
You do?
Just the way she was trying to talk to him when they were at the hospital and, you know, him and his little hissy fit about getting served in front of everybody. Like, she had control over where the fuck he was going to get served.
True.
I'm like, grow up, dude. I'm sorry. No, I don't like him.
I really couldn't tell.
I mean, I'm not, you know, There's nothing to like about him.
Yeah. So. Well, see, like I said, I used to like Robert, but I just don't like the choices he's making as a character. So yeah. He kind of grates on my skin right now. He makes me very like, and you know, it's like, okay, so, and we don't have to get into this, but the whole cancel culture, like I'm trying to keep that in mind. When I even just like in real life, you know, like with real people, like somebody, you know, people make mistakes. And I think we do need to, as a society, get out of that. Like they do one bad thing. So now they're a bad person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But he's a dick. I'm sorry. It's more than just one thing. And, you know, they've engineered it. I mean, they're writing this character for us to not like him. So I don't like him.
Yeah. Well. Well done, writers. Well done.
Yeah, successful.
You nailed it. Yeah, because they are making him very unlikable.
Yeah.
Although he did save four of his, his firefighters.
He's just doing his job.
Right. No, but, you know, I mean, I thought that was, you know, I think that's their way of trying to redeem his character, you know, a little bit, give him a little bit of, you know, because maybe they do sense, maybe they've gone a little too far with the bullshit that he keeps doing, you know, but to show that he's still a good guy. He's a great firefighter. And he will, you know, fight to save his people. So,
I'm sure they, in the showrunners, producers, minds, they need a foil. They need something to bounce all the negativity and bad, you know, energy off of. They need someone to stir the pot.
Oh, absolutely. And you always have to have an antagonist, right? So you have your protagonist and your antagonist.
That makes a good story, right?
Yes. So yep.
That's who he is.
Yep.
We did get a answer to the, is it Bishop DeLuca or DeLuca Bishop?
Yes.
Question.
Well, according to Karina, because I think they both started to say, they both started to say the opposite, you know? And then Karina they were in the midst of a disagreement, I'll say.
Yeah.
She was just very firm and said, DeLuca Bishop. Yeah, and Maya was like, I guess it's DeLuca Bishop.
Karina's the boss in that relationship.
Oh, hell yes, she is. I think Maya wants to be, but.
Well, she's whipped.
That's sound effects by Binks. Yeah, so what else did we see in that episode? They start the response team.
The first response thing. I don't know if he had a name for it.
Yeah. And I can't remember what it is. We suck at remembering stuff, people. It's
it's all right. Well, you know, it was days ago. There's a lot more shit that's gone through my head since then.
Yes, exactly.
But it was a good episode. I mean, I'm happy so far with the season.
Yeah.
Ditto. And I wanted to mention that Addison Montgomery is coming back next week
to Grays, right?
Yeah. To Grays. Yep. And there's already been a meme. She had a famous line when she meets Meredith for the first time, and she introduces herself and she says, and you're the I don't remember the specific words, but you're the person that's been screwing my husband.
Ooh. Really? Okay. So I haven't watched Grey's at all. I mean, I've watched bits and pieces here and there, but very, like, I'm not up on any of it. So,
abridged version, Derek and Addison are married and they live in New York.
Okay.
And he catches Addison having an affair with Mark Sloan. Okay.
And the hospital is Gray Sloan?
Okay, but that happens later.
No, I know. Okay.
So Mark Sloan and Derek, I can't think of his last name at the moment. Derek McDreamy.
Yeah, we'll just call him that. It's fine. Move on.
McDreamy. So they're best friends. So the three of them know each other. So Addison is sleeping with Mark and is married to Derek.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, Derek catches them and says, fuck this shit, I'm out.
As you would,
moves and moves to Seattle. So he's been technically in Seattle for a while. I don't know how long, I can't remember, but he is still married to Addison, but he falls in love with Meredith.
Okay.
And doesn't tell Meredith that he's married.
Okay. Can I ask one question? Were they on a break?
They technically, yes, they were on a break. They were definitely on a break.
Yeah, I figured, you know, they're probably estranged or separated at the very least. Yeah.
And the way Addison deals with the whole thing is she's a very sarcastic, but very, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. She's not a vicious, evil, you know, she's not there to kill Meredith. She's like, yeah, whatever. Fuck him. I don't care. Yeah. basically.
Been there, done that. So, I'm over it.
Yeah, yeah. You can have him. I don't want him.
Yeah.
So in next week's episode, she's been called in to come help because they've lost a bunch of surgeons, doctors because of COVID, because everybody's, you know. You know how,
oh, so it's like all hands on deck. Yeah, let's call
that's all hands on deck. So they call her back and she's going to take care of the surgical residents. And the first thing she says is, hi, I'm Addison Montgomery. And so you're the interns that have been fucking up or screwing up. She doesn't say okay. fucking. So you're the interns that have been screwing up the whatever.
Yeah.
So it's a parallel of her first line in the, it's an Easter egg. It's a callback, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And they're all like, and she's like decked out in this black dress and her white coat and her heels. And she is fucking drop dead gorgeous, and they all have their phones out taking a picture of her. It's like this is gonna be, I hope, gonna be one of the most amazing comebacks. Yeah, I hope.
Nice. So what is the actress's name?
Kate Walsh.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, she's phenomenal too.
Yeah,
so it's gonna be fun.
And that's next week.
Yeah.
Right,
that's next week. Yeah.
Cool. Well, and we're gonna wrap up the show this week again with the L word, because it was the final episode of season finale. Oh my goodness, so much happened. So nobody is going to be shocked when I said, you know, my favorite episode up to that point was Love Shack. This one, so that was more of like a funny kind of lighthearted, I love that episode. This episode, which was called Last Call, definitely, oh wow, I loved everything as far as like the music. First of all, let's just talk about the soundtrack. They actually have made a playlist Spotify. On Spotify. Yeah, because they nailed the music this 100% season.
This season,
every episode I was just like, oh my god, the music is just great.
Yeah.
So if you get a chance and you have Spotify, check it out. I plan to.
You don't even need Spotify because I can. I have a YouTube Music membership.
Okay,
and so you can find those songs on YouTube too.
That's cool. I'm just saying, like they actually have curated a list on.
They
Spotify.
Curated it, but I actually took a picture of it on my phone and it's just going through. Can you send that to me? My playlist. Yeah, I will.
I need to be able to find it on Spotify.
So. Yeah, no, I'll send it to you.
Awesome. So we open with.
The intervention.
The intervention. Yeah. For Finley. It's Sophie, Micah,
Alice.
Tess, Shane, Alice. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's five of them and they're kind of just hanging out at, you know, Sophie's house waiting for Finley to come home. And
which I'm trying to figure out. I sorry, I'm interrupting
no,
you. But
go,
I'm,
go.
So it's Micah's. Well, it isn't even their house. I think they rent it. I don't think it's anybody's actual house.
Correct.
But I think Micah and Danny actually lived there originally.
They
did,
yes.
Okay, so because I got that after I realized that.
Yeah, does Micah not still live there?
Well, I think he does. I'm sure he does. We just didn't see him in this episode. Yeah.
Or even this season, really. Like, we haven't really seen him, like, living there, right? But we don't know where he's been, so we assume he's still living there?
When he and Maribel get together, he carries her up the stairs of that
house. Okay, true.
Yeah.
True.
So he is still living there.
All right, good. All right.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
No, that's fine.
I said it worked that through.
So it's a very, you know, awkward situation. Finley comes home from reffing. She's still in her ref uniform. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they call her in and say, you know, sit her down and you know, go through the whole thing. We love you. We're here to support you. But you definitely have a problem. And to her credit, she does sit there for longer than I thought she would. But she eventually does say she's not going to go to the place they want to bring her to for rehab. And then we jump from that scene, which was very, like I said, very. And the whole part with Sophie, like the camera work in this episode was really, really good, especially with the Sophie in the intervention. And I'm not going to jump ahead, but just mentioning it, the whole Danny part in the court where she's like freaking out. I just really liked the way they shot both of those scenes, you know, to really make you feel like, you're kind of right feeling the anxiety for both of them, you know. Mm-hmm. But the next scene is actually Bette and Pippa waking up in bed. It looks like they're at Pippa's house.
They are. Yeah.
And Bette gets, you know, they're kind of doing like, you know, cute stuff, talking about what mm-hmm. they're going to wear to the gala, or not the gala, the CDC. Yeah. Is it a gala?
The CDC. Yeah, it's a gala. It's her opening. It's her art opening.
Or should we call it a gala?
Show. Gala, yeah.
Bette gets a phone call, and we assume mm-hmm. it's Tina, but we don't actually see that, right? We never see the phone say it's Tina.
No.
It's just based on the conversation, and I think they did that on purpose because we're kind of getting it from Pippa's perspective of listening in on mm-hmm. what she's saying. But, of course, Bette says, I need to take this, gets out of bed, puts a robe on, and kind of mm-hmm. just walks a little bit away. She's still within earshot. But you see the look on Pippa's face. First of all, that they were just having kind of an intimate moment, and Bette just kind of was like, oh, I got to take this, like, and just kind of jumps out of bed. And
yeah.
So,
but, you know, Bette is a parent, and
yes, absolutely.
You have to have leeway in having to answer your phone if it rings.
Yes, so. Absolutely. I think it's just the way she went from like very focused on Pippa, and like a split second was like, okay, I have something else I need to do. And it was just very abrupt, you know?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So Pippa kind of is listening to what she's saying, but you also see the look on Pippa's face through the whole scene. And she's getting a feeling, she's listening to her gut. She's getting a gut feeling that something isn't right, that Bette is still in love with Tina. Yeah. So she ends up, does she leave? She can't leave her own house, right?
No.
But she walks out of the room at least, right?
Well, Bette had, when they were still in bed before she had answered the phone, Bette had asked Pippa to come with her to Alice's
right
going away party.
Which Alice is throwing for herself, by the way. I love it. Yeah. it's
and
Alice. I love her.
And so during the phone conversation, Pippa overhears the fact that Tina will be at the going away party, and so she tells her no, she doesn't want to go, and then Pippa walks out of the room,
right, because she's like, I just feel like something's not right, and I've gotten really good at listening to my gut, and that's, you know, that's a good life lesson for people. Listen to your gut, because a lot of the time you're going to be right on.
And Bette is in massive denial.
Oh yes. Oh, definitely. And then we go to, we cut over to the scene. What was next? It was Danny and Gigi walking into the courthouse, right? I think that was the next where we went next, because they're walking in and they're talking, and Danny's telling Gigi, like, she's very confident, like she's been prepped, like ad nauseum, and is ready for whatever they can throw at her, because she's going to have to take the stand in defense of her father, who is on mm-hmm. trial for something to do with opioids, like producing opioids, and knowing that it was an extremely addictive
and lethal
drug, and still pushing it out to in mass to the masses. So so that's why he's on trial. But anyway, so she's, you know, telling Gigi, like, I'm totally fine, and I will let you know if I'm not. And then and we do get that scene later on when she's, like I had kind of already talked about, where she's just having a moment of pure, just, it's anxiety. The camera work was spot on. The way they kind of like did like the blurring of the image and just the joltiness of it. Like, I love the way they shot it, because I was like, oh my God, I'm feeling this. I'm with her right now.
At first I thought she was just having a panic attack, because it was, you know, it was going to be her time to get on the stand. But then I realized that she started to realize that her father may not be the innocent person he's saying he is.
Based on
the testifying that was going on in that
and what scene, the lawyer was saying, kind of setting the scene, and you know, Danny's sitting back behind
her
father.
Started to hit home for her, and, you know, she's like, this is not good, and I'm not going to go on the stand and perjure myself, because, you know. But the way Gigi is supportive and just there for her. Just amazing.
She's like her guardian in that moment. Like she's there to protect Danny because
she's not being overbearing, like Bette would be. Bette would be overbearing in this situation, but Gigi is definitely not. Right.
I love that, you know, once Danny starts having, you know, the feeling of, as she's sitting there behind her dad, she grabs Gigi's hand and then she just kind of whispers to her, like, I'm not okay, or I'm not, you know, I'm not fine.
I'm not okay. Get me out of here.
And can you get me out of here? And Gigi just was like, okay, let's go. Like, let's go. No big deal. Let's get out of here. And so she takes her outside and they sit on, you know, she's sitting on the bench and Gigi kind of crouches down and is kneeling right in front of her and is talking to her. And the whole time, you know, the camera work just making you feel what Danny is feeling in that moment of just like pure panic and pure terror, and just knowing, again, like you said, like her, she's going to get up there and try to defend this man who she is pretty sure is probably guilty. So, you know, her dad. So then the lawyer comes out.
And Gigi gets up in her fucking face and says, fuck you, act like a human.
Yes.
And fucking, they walk the fuck away.
Yes. And in she contempt, says, like, course. What does she yell at her as they leave? Like, fuck you, or I don't even remember. It was great. And the way she looks back at her and just kind of like smiles. But the lawyer does say, you know, they're going to find you. You'll be held in criminal contempt of court. Not even just contempt, like criminal contempt of court, because you know, she's on the list of people who are going to be appearing or, you know, testifying. So she has to be there. She's not allowed to just walk away anymore.
Right.
But that's what they do. They walk away. Yeah. So that will come back to bite her later in the episode.
Yeah. Which I'm not surprised.
Yeah, me neither.
And I'm not, to be honest with you, I mean, we can jump to that, but I'm honestly not that worried about it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to, even if the judge decides to keep her in, you know, jail until she actually testifies, it won't be like forever.
And, right.
You know, if she gets out on bail, it's just the fact that the way they came and got her is more, you know, devastating than the fact that they came and got her.
Yeah, because, you know, she's at dinner with Gigi's entire family. Like, having a great time. Like, at first she was very nervous to go in. And as soon as she walks in, Gigi's mom comes over and starts talking to her and takes her and walks her in. And they're talking and they're all, you know, they're doing cheers and all that stuff. And
did you catch when they're taking shots and then Gigi takes the lemon and then she gives it to Danny?
Takes the lemon out of her mouth and gives it to Danny,
and then she leans in and she says hi, and then she doesn't say it, but she mouths it, kiss me.
Oh, she did.
Oh yeah.
Ooh, I'm so going back and rewatching that shit.
Yeah. Nice. And they kiss.
Yeah, it was very sweet.
Yeah, but it was like she mouths it. You don't hear it, but you can see her say kiss me.
Gigi says it.
I
love Gigi, man. Again, just, yeah, I love her. And I love them together. Like, I'm digging their vibe. Sure. And I think most of like the L Word fandom is like they belong together.
We ship them.
Yeah, we definitely ship. Do they have a ship name? If they do, I don't know what it is.
I know they do. I've seen it.
And I haven't, so apologies, but we will find out what their ship name is for the next one. So then Alice is throwing her party, her going away party for herself, because she's going to go on a book tour.
Oh, at the bar at Dana's.
Which, actually, prior to that, she kind of bit Tom's head off because of one bad review she had read. Tom was actually holding her phone and saw it, and then he couldn't mask it on his own face. And she's like, what is that face? Like, what are you doing? Like, and then she takes her phone back and sees the negative review and kind of goes off on him a little bit. And, you know, she's upset. You know, she opened up her heart and put some very personal private information in her book. And I think she feels attacked, you know, she feels and I loved the scene with Bette, Alice and Shane in the store when they're trying to find a gift for Carrie and Tina's wedding. And they're talking about everything that's going on in all of their lives, you know? Mm-hmm. And
I will say that, you know, even though I don't like Tom, I do like the comedic chemistry that Lisha Haley and the actor have. Mm-hmm. I do like their repartee back and forth. Okay. I think their chemistry works. Yes. I just don't want her to be with Tom.
We would rather see her with a girl, but she is bi, so, you know.
That's fine. It's fine. But yeah, the while they're talking in the store, they've got several pertinent conversations going on.
Yes.
With each other. I love it how they seem to do that with these three.
I do.
Get them together, yes, for this.
I agree. You know, yes. To hash out what the shit that's happening to them, you know, and
yeah,
it's
but
the way
they
do
put
it.
Them,
yeah.
They just put them in a situation that's like a normal everyday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're shopping for our friend and then they're all walking around with different kitchen implements in their hand. I love it when Shane has the spatula when she goes to ask Bette, what would you do? I'm not ready to talk about that.
Okay.
Yet.
Okay. All right.
Not ready to talk about the fact that what would you do if Tina showed up on your doors?
Yeah. Shane kind of,
I can't
puts,
do it.
Puts it out there. And in the same, at the same time tells Bette that Carrie has cold feet based on the previous episode. So that's the first time either Alice or Bette are hearing this information, because Alice was like, really? Like, she was even shocked. So they're talking about that. Like, you know, Bette, should she be with Tina? Should she be with Pippa? And then they also address the fact that Tess earlier in the episode has told Shane that she's going to have to find a new GM for Dana's because she needs to move back to Las Vegas to be with her mother.
I need to pull this thread because it's been bothering me since that happened. Right. Why don't they just bring the mother to wherever they are?
You know, that's, I didn't even think of that as an option, but
what,
honestly,
why does she
right?
have to stay in Vegas? If she's not well, she can't take care of herself. Just fucking pack her up and bring her to where the fuck ever they are. LA, I guess. They're
yeah,
in LA.
I don't know.
Look at that. Why?
Okay,
I don't understand
I'm
this.
I'm really glad you pulled this thread because that makes sense. Although,
I mean, did I miss something?
When Tess is on the phone. So Shane and Tess have an amazing sex scene. I was like, oh my God, I love this.
Yeah, it was hot.
Very hot. And in the midst of, but not, Tess gets a phone call and Shane's like, you're not going to take that, you know, but she's like, no, I have to.
Again.
Yeah.
She's
because
got a responsibility.
It's her mom, right. It is her mom. And she says something to her mom, like, is so-and-so there? I can't remember the name.
Yeah. Reggie or something.
Something like that. Yeah. And so that makes me wonder who that person is. Is that like a nurse or is that a family member who maybe lives there and she lives with? You know, the mother lives with. So there's
still
information there we don't have. But, I mean, that would be a very good solution, right? Why not just move her here instead of me going there? Yeah.
I just
you should have wrote it,
didn't
Lee.
Make any sense. I'm just trying to think, did I miss something? Is there a reason she can't?
No,
she
I mean,
has
that's
to stay
a
in Vegas.
Very valid question. And, yeah. That's a great question, because that would be the simple solution, you'd think, right?
I mean, right?
Keep it simple, stupid.
Everybody gets.
But then again, it doesn't set
and
up for the drama of them having
right,
to
exactly.
decide whether they want to continue a long distance relationship or if they're just going to call it, you know? Because, you know, Tess even asked Shane, like, as they're in bed, if she wants to move to Vegas with her. And you can see Shane's conflicted about it in that moment. And then they kind of have a conversation at Alice's party later. And she's saying, like, this is the first time I've ever had roots, like, or roots, you know, this deep, you know, with her business, Dana's, and her found family of Alice and Bette, and just the community and everything. You know, she has her life there. So she isn't able to and or willing to just pick up and leave, you know, because she really feels like she's finally settled. And for Shane, that's huge, you know, because I don't think she's been settled for most of, well, pretty much all of the first iteration of the L Word. I don't feel like she was very settled. So, So, and then the other thing they talk about is the whole fact that Alice went off on Tom when they're in the store, you know, walking around. And so they're dealing with each other's like relationship issues, like, you know, and kind of calling each other on their shit a little bit, you know, as far as like Bette and Tina, the whole, you know, Shane kind of like get, not an ultimatum. It's not an ultimatum, but she just puts it on the table. Like, you know, if Tina were to show up at your door, what would you do? You know,
I definitely think that Bette, from the expression she has at the very end of that scene, I think that she really hadn't even, I mean, the spark was there when, obviously, when Tina asks her, are you still in love with me? And she doesn't get to answer her in, you know, the previous episode. But I think that Bette, I think it's always been like you know, underlying for Bette, but I don't think she's actually stopped to think about, yeah, maybe I am or maybe I'm not. You know, I think she hasn't processed any of that. And I think this conversation with Alice and Shane, you know, definitely plants that seed deeper and starts her thinking about, you know.
Yeah, she can't stop thinking about it. She even says that.
Obviously, because, yeah.
And then she approaches Tina at Alice's party.
At the party.
So Carrie offers to go buy her a drink at the bar. And as she's gone, Bette decides to launch into the whole, why did you say, you know, are you still in love? Why did you ask me that? She keeps asking Tina that. And
so we know from, you know, the story unfolding that, again, we've talked about it, but Tina actually left Bette at some point because they went ahead and got married and you know, were together for an undisclosed amount of time.
Right.
And then Tina leaves.
Yep.
So, you know, it would be Tina, I would think, that would have to be the one that wants to come back and ask forgiveness or wants
well, not
to be
forgiveness.
Back in
Bette's I don't
life.
Think she not needs to ask forgiveness.
No. That wasn't the right.
No, I know. I know what you're saying, though. To maybe like put it.
It would be Tina's move to say, I want to come back, not whether Bette's. Well, I mean, I guess it does matter if Bette still loves her.
Well, and you know, it could go either way. I mean, if.
Yeah, it's a complicated situation.
But whereas Tina is engaged to be married and is supposed to be getting married very soon.
Yeah.
It's just the timing of it, of course, you know, because that's how they do. She's supposed to be getting married very soon, but I was even wondering, like, why did she ask that? Is that because she does have feelings for Bette?
Yeah.
Or is it because she's worried that Bette does have feelings for her? You know, because Carrie has said all along, like, she is still in love with you.
Well, everybody sees it, but those two,
the two
and
of them,
obviously,
right? Yeah.
You know, their friends are telling them on either side, their fiance, you know, everybody's saying, hey, you guys are still in love. And so maybe that's the light going on for Tina as well. You know, saying, okay, well, do you still love me? Maybe I still love you.
But see,
you know,
when she said that too, when she asked the question, it was kind of like hostile might not be the right word, but there was some anger behind it. Like,
frustration.
Like frustration.
For sure.
Yeah. Do you still love me? Like, kind of like disbelief and like, you know, and so anyway, so through the conversation that they have, Carrie walks up behind Bette. And I guess over here, I didn't think that Bette said anything specific about like, I want to be with you, or I think it was just the fact that they were having a somewhat intimate conversation. And
I think it was the look on Tina's face.
Yeah, that's true too.
She could see Tina, but she couldn't see Bette.
Yes. And she walks up behind Bette and just, I mean, she is pissed. She's like, here's your drink or whatever. And
I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, I knew this was going to happen. And, you know, I'm not a very angry person, but you make me so...
I'm not violent.
Yes.
I'm not going to punch you.
Yeah, like, I'm going to punch you in the face. I mean, she doesn't say that, but definitely given the implication. But she eventually turns to Tina and says, I can't do this anymore. Like, Bette walks away and says... Bette walks away, and then Carrie turns to Tina and is like, I'm done. I can't continue doing this. And you can see she's very resolved in that decision. And she walks away, and Tina's just left there like, what the fuck is happening? And then goes over to Bette and is like, you wanted this.
You did this.
Yeah, she kind of like lashes out
fault.
At Bette.
Yep.
And honestly, like, I don't feel like Bette was saying anything overtly like we should get back together or I love you.
No, they were just trying to talk about it.
They were just trying to work it out. Oops.
Yeah.
They were just trying to work it out. And so it was just a very kind of semi, like very on a small scale, chaotic scene. Like just because of like, again, just.
Well, that's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very emotionally chaotic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then. What's going on with the Angie through this episode? Oh, that's right. Marcus Allenwood passed away in the previous episode.
Yep.
So she wasn't able to meet her donor. She had a list of questions that she wanted to ask him. And her, Marcus's daughter, you know, they've become friends or whatever. And Marcus's daughter had taken the list and went to her family and they all answered the questions. So I thought that was very,
which was amazing.
Sweet.
That was so sweet.
So
and
sweet.
Jordy is being so sweet now.
Yeah,
and
she's
getting
finally,
along
yeah,
really well.
Yeah, yeah.
And
she's being supportive. She's there with her when she meets up with her, what would you call her? Her half sister?
I mean, technically.
Technically, she's a half-sister.
The half-sister, yeah.
So we'll call her that, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah, so Jordy was definitely, I liked Jordy's vibe in this episode more so than like the prom or like any of the previous episodes, because they really made it seem like she just was more interested in her own stuff going on and not seeing that Angie was really like in a bad way.
Struggling.
I did like their connection much better in this episode.
And the painting that he did was beautiful.
It was so beautiful.
I'm glad she got to get that.
Yes, me too. So Bette gives her a wrapped painting that Marcus Allenwood had done, and it's of a girl, and it looks just like Angie. But the use of color and everything, I mean, you know, I loved the painting. It was beautiful.
Yeah. When she says that his art is her next show.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah.
She had something to do with his estate.
And she
was going to show his art in a show at her gallery.
And that's when Angie tells Bette that she should go to the gala.
Yes. Oh, that's right.
And
Pippa and Bette have had that falling out, you know, and Pippa they show Pippa at the gala.
Yeah.
And Bette, based on what Angie convinces her and talks, the line was just like, you know, we don't know how long we're going to be here. I mean, that hit real deep for me, especially because it's just so fresh, you know, true. Having lost someone close. We don't take
big swings.
Yes. Take big swings.
Yep.
I just loved that moment between mother and daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
it was awesome.
She convinced her that she needs to go to this gala and see Pippa. And so she gets ready and she's about to walk out the door.
Oh, my God.
When who's at the fucking doorstep, Lee?
I'm honest to God shocked. Okay, so I watch it Friday mornings while I'm getting ready. Uh-huh. And I'm honest to God shocked that you didn't hear me all the way in Las Vegas screaming at the goddamn television. What the
I thought
fuck
of you,
people doing to me?
I thought of you the entire through the entire
so
scene. So
fuck.
In case you haven't seen it, Tina is at her fucking door.
Fucking shows
of
up at the door.
Is.
Can we?
Of course.
Can we
is.
Come? Can I come in? Can we talk? and we don't see Bette's answer.
Right. She just kind of looks at her like she's really conflicted, like because she's about to go see Pippa and try to salvage that relationship. But you know she has love for Tina. You know there is love between them. That's not ever a question.
We better fucking get a season 3 because I'm gonna riot.
I don't think they cannot do a season 3 finale. Because Danny's been arrested. Bette and Tina were like, what the hell is going on there? Finley has been dropped off at the rehab. Finally, she has come around and she, you know, that whole scene where she's dancing at the club and she's completely blitzed out of her mind again.
Yeah.
And she kind of has this moment of clarity, like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, you can see it.
Well, when she steps in front of the moving truck.
Oh my God. I literally was like, no, like you should have heard me in Ohio because I was livid. And then of course, thank God, the next scene was her sitting.
It's her.
In Sophie's mother's
house. Cause I was like, did they really just kill?
You did not just fucking kill Finley. Like,
no.
Yeah. So thankfully they didn't. Take a deep breath.
Well, the plus side is that Alicia Haley,
Kate Monig,
and
Jennifer Beals.
Oh my God,
we can get some names today, Lee. I know we can do it.
The plus side is that they're all executive producers of the show. They're all involved in the production, so hopefully, obviously, they'll still want to continue. I mean, I'm watching. I mean, it's no secret that I'm, you know, a Jennifer Beals Bette fan. But my God, she's fucking gorgeous.
She is. Yep.
At the age of...
Yeah, how old is
she? She's got to be 50. Because Alicia Haley is 50. So Jennifer Beals has to be at least that
she's
old.
She was in Flashdance back in the 80s. Flashdance. So she's got to be over 50. She's got to be in early 60s, probably.
I don't think she's in her... I don't think she's 60 yet.
All right. We're going to have to definitely...
We're going to have to Goog this.
We're going to have to give it a Goog.
Give it a Goog.
Yeah, because we need... Inquiring minds would like to know. How old is Jennifer Beals?
She's fucking my age. She's 57.
I knew she was closer to
60,
yeah.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, she looks fucking good for 57.
Really good. Like,
really good.
Yeah. Yep.
Just absolutely gorgeous. Yeah.
So yeah, where do we leave off? So yeah, there's so much happening, right? No, it's fine. It's fine. There's so much happened in this episode. It was like, of course, the part that just pisses me off is like every single story where it was kind of like everything was going great. Mm-hmm. Everything is back in the shitter. I'm just like, what the fuck? Can we not have a happy ending-ish for some of the characters moving into the next season?
So Tom and Alice are embarking on the book tour, and she's made the bestseller list.
Yes,
which is
that's right. She was number eight on the bestseller list.
Number eight on the bestseller list, and so they're on the plane, and he has to go use the bathroom,
right?
And she has his coat in her hands, and she's like, "Please let this be a pen."
Yeah, she pulls out a fucking ring box.
I'm
like, "How do you think that's like a pen?"
Wait a minute. They haven't even gone together that long, first of all.
I know.
And he's going to propose, and no, she's not going to marry him.
No,
I'm sorry.
And she even says, she's got to shut that down.
Yeah, this is a problem.
Whatever.
Yeah. Situation is what she says.
Yeah, see, and that doesn't make sense to me at all because of the fact that she literally just slept with Nat like an episode or two ago. You know?
Right.
I mean, they're definitely not. I mean, they're good where they are now.
They're good.
But they're not, again, too soon. Way too soon.
Way too soon.
And maybe you should work through your relationship a little bit more to make sure you're really copacetic, you know, before you just jump in. Like,
yeah. Unless they want us to assume that he's going, maybe that ring is for something else. Maybe he's holding it
for
somebody.
That's kind of what I thought.
Or, you know what I mean?
I'm thinking like it probably isn't him going to propose, but it's going to cause more drama in their relationship. But I can't think of what.
I mean, maybe it's
what it would be, you know.
Maybe he got it back from his ex-wife or his ex-girlfriend just got married, and that's the coat he wore at the wedding, and he put. I don't know.
I mean, there's.
I don't write this shit, but
you could. I could. There's definitely. I mean, there's room for them to take it either way for sure. So nothing has been set in stone as far as that goes. So
right,
but yeah, there's just. I mean, everything is chaos. On the
all the balls are in the air.
Yes, and some of them are falling, and you're just like, oh, I can't catch them all. So Finley, I think the very end of the episode is Sophie is dropping off Finley at the rehab, and she's walking up to the door, and a gentleman greets her, and Finley turns and looks back at Sophie, and you see there's like, it kind of to me read as like a little bit of doubt about whether or not she's going to actually go through the door. Sophie's sitting in the car like, please go, please, like you could see it on her face, like, please go through the door. And so of course, and then it goes to credits. So they're leaving us hanging on multiple aspects,
every one of them,
which is why I'm like, we're definitely getting a season three.
Better.
They can't leave that shit. There's no way in hell they can leave that hanging like that. If they do, we're both rioting.
Rioting.
Because you cannot leave that shit. No way.
We will find you, and we will make you write it some more.
And act it, and do all the things, you know.
Produce it, put it out there. It's unacceptable to leave us hanging like
Hell
this.
Hell yeah. So, oh my gosh. Well, that's the L word for you. So
yeah.
Hopefully they come out with a season three soon. I don't want to have to wait a year.
It's going to be a while. I mean, not even said if we have one. So does that mean they haven't even started writing it? Obviously.
True. Yeah.
Takes a while. So it's going to be at least a year.
Yeah. Which sucks, man. Because like, that's the one downside to, you know, shows and stuff, that it has to take as long as it takes. You know what I mean? And I get it. Everybody needs a break. And I get it. But it's just frustrating, you know, for fans.
Yeah.
Especially when the seasons are so fucking short. It's like you just get into it like fully and it's over. And then you have to wait a whole nother gosh darn year. So very frustrating.
Well, speaking about not having to wait for very long, my favorite show is coming back next week.
Yeah.
Legends is back on the air with along with Batwoman.
Yep.
And
these are CW shows, Token, just so
these are CW shows, so, you know, whatever.
Just had to put that out there.
But normally we have to wait, you know, 6-10... a long time for another long months of another season of Legends. So the fact that we've only had to wait 4 weeks, 5 weeks yeah. since we saw the last part. I'm really looking, I know we said it before, but I'm really looking forward to it. They're stuck in 1925 and we're getting glimpses of some behind the scenes. We're getting synopsises of the first few episodes. And so I'm excited. So
yeah.
That's back on the docket for next week.
And is that on Wednesdays?
It is on Wednesday nights now. So
on the CW.
Yeah, Legends at 8 and Batwoman at 9 on East Coast time.
And I know you'll be watching it live, and I'll probably end up catching it after the fact. I actually, speaking of which, just really quick, I plan to be getting rid of my cable. my 2-year contract is up this November, so I will be kicking that shit to the curb because it is very expensive, and I have barely used it the entire 2 years. So yeah, so I think I'm going to go to just full streaming, move into that.
Haven't had cable in, I want to say, at least 7 or 8 years.
Yeah. And you don't miss it, right?
No.
No. Yep.
God, no. Yeah.
I
get everything I need with the services that I have. Yeah. So.
And I mean, God bless America. I have a million different streamers too. So I don't want to have to keep paying for cable and streamers when I can get everything I need through the streamers. So So cable is going away.
Cool.
But yeah, so.
Well, as always, it's been a joy.
Always, I love
nerding out.
Yeah, I love nerding out with you.
Yep.
I love our conversations and our deep dives into some of these shows that drive us fucking insane.
We're on our 18th episode. Who would have thought?
I know, right? And I'm still having a blast. So I hope that we keep it up. And, absolutely. You know, anybody who's listening out there, if you'd like to reach out to us, I'll throw it. I'm going to keep doing it 3 times, I think.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's
so we're on Twitter and Instagram at Nerd2NerdPod. Or you can send us an email. Our email address is nerd2nerdpodcast@gmail.com. And we would love to hear from more people. We've already heard from 2 people via email. So. Reach out, let us know what you're nerding out about, what shows are, you know, exciting, anything queer content related we love, anything sci-fi we love, let us know what you're thinking about our Marvel rewatch of the MCU, anything, we're open to anything. Just knowing people are out there and listening is wonderful. So but even if they weren't, Lee, I would still be having a blast. So
me too. Absolutely.
So no chances of us putting the brakes on anytime soon. Think we've found our flow and our groove. But on that note, please join us on our next episode, and until then, stay nerdy.